As Christians, the Gospel according to St. Mark presents us with no small number of challenges as we study the Word of God. Like the three other Gospels, the identity of the author of Mark is a mystery, though speculation abounds. It was once thought that this particular book of the Bible was written by a companion of St. Peter named John Mark, though that has long been discredited and discarded. Most recent thinkers and writers on the subject believe that the Gospel was written anonymously and then credited to someone named Mark to give it some sort of credibility by having a familiar name. The storyline, as it were, of Mark begins and ends abruptly, leaving out what we often think of as key elements of the other Gospels, such as a birth narrative, or the Sermon on the Mount, and even the appearances of Christ after his death and resurrection. In fact, this account of the life, teaching, and other works of Jesus doesn't pick up until the time of his baptism by John the Baptist. What we can say with some confidence is that the Gospel of Mark comes down to us more or less divided into two parts. The first tends to focus much more on Jesus' miraculous works, healing ministries, exorcisms, than his words and public teaching. In the second half, we find what is often referred to by religious scholars and Christian practitioners alike as the way of the cross. And it shows us the ways in which Jesus' life and destiny line up with the lives of those who follow him, both in his own time and our own, more than 2,000 years later. In Mark, we have a Messiah who insists on more than one occasion about secrecy surrounding his true identity and role in the world. And finally, there is the fact that even his closest disciples seem to not have the slightest clue, often, what is going on. I can only imagine that that last part was as frustrating to Jesus in his time as our confusion about him must be in ours. Since the author of the Markan Gospel presents us with so many mysteries and challenges, let's focus on one, and that's that idea of the way of the cross that I mentioned a moment ago. If you were to Google the way of the cross, don't do that now, the majority of what you would find would have to do with the devotion known as the Stations of the Cross that so many of us participate in during the season of Lent. For those who aren't familiar, the Stations of the Cross are those little plaques on the walls around the church. If you haven't walked the stations here yet with Diane and the rest of those of us who take part, I really encourage you to do that. She's picked out a wonderful new companion book from the Church of England, and it's quite a moving experience to do as a community. But it's likely that the author of this morning's gospel and the scholars that study it weren't talking about the devotional practice made up of these images on the wall and the prayers that go with them. When professors and theologians think about the way of the cross, what are they talking about then? In that context, the way of the cross talks about the significance of Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, and their role in our lives as we follow him. With that being the case, why does Jesus tell us in this morning's gospel from Mark to take up our crosses and follow him? What does he mean by our crosses? If giving himself over to death on the cross was his fate from the time he was born, why is he telling us that we have to carry this burden of the cross that was given to him? At this time of year, we focus on prayers and books and devotionals like the Stations of the Cross as intellectual and symbolic ways to walk with Jesus and understand and appreciate the sheer magnitude of what he did and continues to do each day for those of us that follow him. Maybe that word follow has a little bit more to do with why the cross of Christ, the cross he commands us to carry. Are we meant to follow Jesus simply by saying, right, I think he's got some good ideas, strong message, good presentation, I'll call myself Christian? Or is there more to it than that? Maybe something practical that we can take into our hands and do. As most of you know, and are probably tired of by now, I've stood in this very pulpit time and time again and talked about how we are commanded by Jesus to help those in the world who are suffering, to feed them and clothe them and nurse them when they are sick. But friends, what about here in our own church community, just among ourselves? Or in our families, or in offices and banks and law firms and hospitals and schools where we all work? Anyone who spent any significant amount of time in churches, Episcopal and otherwise, I fear, knows that they can be, and so often are, hotbeds of gossip and pettiness, cliques and cross purposes. At various points in all our lives, we get caught up in allowing our grievances and differences of opinion, rather than the word of God and the life and teachings of Jesus, to govern our actions day to day. So often as Christians within our own churches, we choose up sides and go after each other like kids on the baseball diamond. We allow differences of opinion and our obsessions with personalities and personal history to govern our actions, all the while knowing that nothing, no set of beliefs or actions could be more different than the ways in which Jesus tells us to live our lives and care one for the other. If we truly desire to take up the cross of Christ, as Jesus himself commands in this morning's reading from Mark, what's involved? I would submit that in order to carry something so life-altering, we first need to put some things down. Have you ever seen those folks from the area churches carrying a cross through the streets as we get toward Easter? Sometimes there's wheels on the back of it. Those things are massive, and they're awkward and heavy. So you can imagine how much more so would have been the cross upon which Jesus was crucified, which Simon of Cyrene helped him to carry, and which Jesus himself asked us metaphorically and theologically to take up if we are to be true pilgrims and followers of the way of the cross. Imagine, if you will, trying to carry that literal cross made of hundreds of pounds of wood while also carrying all of your groceries, your dog or your cat, your mail, and maybe your golf clubs. Certainly that would be a laborious, if not outright impossible, undertaking. Well, now imagine trying to do all the work we are called to do by means of our Christian faith while trying at the same time to carry all the grief and grudges, politics, personalities, and pettiness that we not only carry around with us as if they were treasures beyond estimation, but that we also use against each other on a regular basis. We all do it. I still have bones to pick with people that I graduated from high school with more than 30 years ago. I remember a girl in my chemistry class spilling a beaker of something toxic all over the notes I'd taken all year, making them illegible and useless. And when I tell you that not only do I still remember it, but it infuriates me every time I think about it, I'm not exaggerating in the least. Now imagine that I did that with every person who I imagined had ever wronged or even slightly irritated me. I may not have inherited wealth or houses or cars from my family, but I sure did get the ability to hold a grudge like nobody's business. But if I am carrying all of that rage and hurt feelings around with me all of the time, how on earth would I begin to take up the cross and follow Jesus? Have you ever tried to be in two moods or two states of mind at the same time? If you have, then you know it can't really be done. During this precious and penitential season of Lent, so many of us choose to take on a discipline by cutting out something else. Maybe we try to take on better health by giving up smoking or fast food. Maybe we try to become better stewards of our finances by cutting out wasteful spending in the form of gambling. Certainly those are worthwhile endeavors which can lead us to a better physical and mental health and a longer, happier, and more productive life. But if we are to be happy and more loving disciples of Christ, shouldn't we put down all that nonsensical baggage we accumulate over the course of our lives so that we may take up our respective crosses and follow Christ on his way? Imagine trying to follow the stations of the cross, the short distance around the periphery of the church in this sanctuary, while literally carrying your spouse or a long-ago love or a boss or a co-worker on your back. You couldn't do it and you wouldn't try. So why do so many of us continue to think that we can take up the cross and follow Jesus through this world and into the heavenly kingdom while also carrying a grudge? Spoiler alert, we can't. So let's all put it down. May God bless you and hold you in the palm of his hand in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.